fearfully and wonderfully. The marvel of bearing God's image. Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox and welcome to What We're Reading, episode 43. And today, if you're watching the video, I will show you. We're talking about this book by Dr. Paul Brand and Philip Yancey. Fearfully and wonderfully, the marvel of bearing God's image. Now, truthfully, I read this about a year ago, perhaps even longer, and I've been meaning to summarize it and do an episode on it, but I haven't got round to it. But today is the day. It's a book that had a profound impact on me and moved me deeply, and I'm really glad to be able to share this with you today. So who were the authors? Well, Philip Yancey may be more familiar to you as a name than Dr. Paul Brand. Philip Yancey's written a lot of bestsellers, you could say, in the Christian sphere, Amazing Grace, amongst others. But Dr. Paul Brand was Philip Yancey's early inspiration when he himself was struggling with his Christian faith due to some experiences of growing up in churches and other things. He met Dr. Paul Brand, and he credits him with helping him to rediscover his faith and the heart of what it meant to be a Christian. And so on that level alone, it's a book worth reading as to how that happened, although he doesn't go into the detail of all of that because the book is more focused on Dr. Brand's own recollections of his work amongst particularly leprosy patients. So he was a pioneering sermon, Dr. Paul Brand, a pioneering sermon, one credited with, amongst others, significant advances in the treatment of leprosy in the 20th century. He worked with leprosy patients and draws in this book a lot of parallels between his work with leprosy patients and particularly his work in India with the nature of the body of Christ, the church, and the purpose of the church and the purpose of a Christian. The book is a really compelling mixture of his own thoughtful reflections on these parallels between his work and the church and stories of his work, especially from his time in India. The core of what inspired me most about this book is his personal sacrifice involved. Being in India, working in very challenging conditions amongst people who were often unable to perhaps give much back to him other than their gratitude, and who the rest of society had rejected. So there was not much glory in this, in fact, very much the opposite for him. But his personal sacrifice involved in serving the lowest of the low, as they were seen to be, is tremendously inspiring. And combining that with his reflections on what that taught him about the life of Jesus, or as he looked at the life of Jesus and looked at what was going on around him, and Dr. Brand's desire to heal all these leprosy patients, and thinking about how Jesus was so passionate about wanting to help people be healed of spiritual sickness, emotional sickness, mental sickness, physical sickness, this theme of healing, which is so significant because it's the broader picture of the mission of Jesus. And so often I myself have too narrowly defined the mission of Jesus as being making sure that as many people as possible go to heaven. And of course, yes, the Father wants as many people as possible to be saved. But the mission more broadly of Jesus was to bring healing, was to bring wholeness. And part of that is, of course, our relationship with God. But part of it is also being enabled to live life to the full and live life in all its fullness and be healed. And so this really touched me. And I have to tell you, many times reading this book, a lump came into my throat and some tears came into my eyes as I thought about the heart of Jesus and the way it was reflected in the life of Dr. Paul Brand. Now, I'm married to a doctor, as some of you will know, and so the medical language and terminology and so on in the book, I didn't find to be a barrier. It made sense to me, at least most of it. And there is, of course, some of that medical language and terminology there. But I would say you don't need to be a medic and you don't need to be medically trained to get a lot out of the book. Although you might need here and there a strong stomach, because some of the stories are very troubling to hear as to what happened. Let me read a paragraph from my notes here. Why does this book matter? It matters because it takes a compassionate sledgehammer to the all-too-desirable lie that Christianity is about feelings, ideas, philosophies, theories, and strategies. When Dr. Brand touches the untouchables, knowing he is at risk of contracting leprosy himself, we are reminded that faith is not safe. When he labors to heal, we are reminded of the heart of Jesus. When the impact of his loving actions are recognized by others, we are reminded that the light of the gospel spreads. He says this in his book about Jesus. Jesus only affected a small area of the world. In his lifetime, he had no impact on the Celts or the Chinese or the Aztecs. Rather, he set in motion a mission which was to spread throughout the world, responding to human needs everywhere. Let me give you next an overview of the book, just having a quick scan of the contents. So at the beginning, he talks about us as being image bearers. We bear the image of God, and we take him to the world through using our bodies, expressing God's love. The invisible made visible. God's love made visible through you and I in the way that we live. Then he begins to talk about the body, and in particular the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12, the roles in the body. We all have different roles, different parts to play. We all do our part to show God to the world. He talks about diversity, unity, and the ecstasy of community, and using the body as the human body with his understanding of medical issues to illustrate that in a masterful way. And then part three, that's parts one and two. Part three is the outside and the inside. He uses the metaphor of the skin to talk about issues of spirituality. The eyes, the taste and smell, our skeleton, the bones, and how bones grow. Fourth part is proof of life, talking about blood and breath and body in motion. Very moving chapters about blood in particular, and the parallels the way that it helps us to understand the communion, the meaning of the communion is very well put forward in those chapters. And then the language of pain, the value of pain, which I'll talk more about in a moment, finishing off with the body's CEO, the brain, and talking about the brain. Let's give you a few more quotes from the book that I found particularly meaningful. On page 191, it says this about pain and about the value of pain. Perhaps I'd say one of the most surprising themes of the book is the value of pain, and that comes with his understanding of what leprosy patients need. They actually need pain, but you'll have to read the book for more understanding of that. He says this, pain, so often viewed as an enemy, is actually the sensation most dedicated to keeping it as healthy. If I had the power to choose one gift for my leprosy patients, I would choose the gift of pain. What a surprising and profound statement. And in a world enamored of the aspiration to eliminate pain, this is a helpful and a healthy corrective. Pain has its place. Page 262. Why did Christ keep his scars? He could have had a perfect body or no body when he returned to the splendor of heaven. Instead, he kept a remembrance of his visit to us. And for a keepsake of his time here, he chose scars. The pain of humanity became the pain of God. The final paragraph of the book sums it all up rather well. It's on page 267. Let me read this for us. This is how he finishes the whole book. He writes here about the aftermath of World War II. He lived through World War II as a junior doctor, a young doctor. After World War II, German students volunteered to help rebuild a cathedral in England, one of many casualties of the Luftwaffe bombings. As the work progressed, debate broke out on how best to restore a large statue of Jesus with his arms outstretched and bearing the familiar inscription, "Come unto me." Careful patching could repair all damage to the statue except for Christ's hands. They had been destroyed by bomb fragments. Should they attempt the delicate task of reshaping those hands? The workers reached a decision that still stands today. The statue of Jesus has no hands, and the inscription now reads, "Christ has no hands but ours." Lovely way to end the book. And very much sums up the underlying spiritual point of the book, which is, if the world is going to know about the healing love of God and of Christ, then it's got to feel it and know it and see it through our hands. How can you and I heal today? Maybe you're not a doctor, you can't heal leprosy patients, but what kind of healing can we bring to people? I spent a good time of conversation yesterday with a friend of mine who's a therapist. She's using her skills as a therapist to help people. Now, maybe you're not a professional therapist, you don't have to be, but what can you do in your family, in your neighborhood, and your workplace to be a person that brings the healing of God to people, to make his healing love visible? That's basically the point of the book. So I thoroughly recommend this book for anybody who's looking for a fresh and unique inspiration to live the lifestyle of Jesus Christ more fully. It challenged me, it helped me. I dare say it might help you too. If you've read the book, I'd be very interested to know what you think of it. Did you find it inspiring? What are your thoughts on it? If you haven't read it and you go on to read it because of what I've told you, I'd like to know your comments on the book and how it might have helped you. Also, I'm just generally interested, what are you reading that's inspiring you? This book inspired me last year. My aim is to continue to put up weekly recordings of books that I'm reading. The next one will almost certainly be on the journal of a Quaker who lived in 18th century America, which I've just finished today. So that'll probably be next week's episode. I'm trying to keep a varied selection of the different kinds of spiritually inspiring reading that I'm doing. What are you reading? I'd be really interested to know. Well, thanks very much. I do hope that your reading inspires you. First of all, your reading of God's Word, but secondly, the reading of other books that help you to understand God better. Till the next time, take care and God bless.